Isaiah is writing in Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 9. And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. If you are here from Hershey Presbyterian Church, you will know that Sunday, and you will perhaps remember that we've been reading through this section of Isaiah, and last Sunday we began this song in Isaiah. It's the fourth servant song in Isaiah's book, his prophecy. There are four songs about this servant of God who has come to be understood to be the Messiah. Songs about who the Messiah will be, what he will be like when he comes, what he will do as he accomplishes our salvation. And in this song, Isaiah is telling us, this is how you are to know that Messiah is here. He's telling us, this is what Messiah will do to accomplish the work of your salvation. And we are now here in the middle of that song in these verses 7 to 9. And Isaiah, as he has been doing, he's developing a portrait of what the coming Messiah will be like. And here he gives us at least two additional images. Two images to add to the ones that have become before and add to the ones that will follow in this song. And I just want to point them out tonight for just a moment. The two things you see on page 5 in your outline is that, firstly, we are shown here that the Messiah, when he comes, will be God's silent servant. Not silent through all his life, but at a particular moment, he will be silent. The shocking thing that Isaiah has told us in this song is that Messiah, when he comes, will be treated in the most inhumane and unjust way possible. We saw some of the brutal language that was used of the description on last Sunday about how he would be treated, but we see it here again. He will face oppression. He will be pushed down. He will be bound up. He will be afflicted. Struck. He will be cut off from the land of the living. He will be struck down and, in a word, killed. It speaks of his grave. It speaks of all these things that lead to his death. And yet, he tells us here, when that happens, he will not object. He will not call to himself the heavenly host that he said could come with a word. He does not call down the angel of death that passed through Egypt on the night which they left Egypt to bring them out of that bondage, to deliver him from this affliction. None to come to destroy his enemies, but instead he will humble himself and submit willingly to this unjust treatment. Verse 7 says it almost shockingly twice, yet he does not open his mouth. So that he opened not his mouth, again at the end of the verse. In verse 7, there's two similes, that is, there's two descriptions that are describing what it will look like for us when Messiah comes. Both involve an animal, a lamb, or a sheep. He says when Messiah comes, it will look like to us like this. It will look like a lamb being taken to the slaughter. It will look like a sheep that's silent before its shearers. He's using an image of an animal who is chosen and who is going to a fate that it doesn't understand. So it doesn't react. It doesn't respond. It doesn't know the consequences of being chosen for the sacrifice. It doesn't understand that it's being led to a shearer to remove its fleece. And so it goes the same way it goes to pasture, the same way it goes to the food trough, without complaint. And Isaiah says when Messiah comes and when Messiah suffers, it will look a lot like that. And indeed, as we hear tonight the reading of what's going on in this week, in this moment, as Jesus is betrayed and offered up, we see that silence. It's going to be in Ishmael's reading and Paul's reading. And you're going to hear how he doesn't defend himself. He doesn't answer at that critical moment. And even though we know the story, there's something in us that wants to say, Jesus, defend yourself. Jesus, speak up. Verse 8 seems to reflect on what it will be like for his disciples that night, what they'll feel like in these dreadful moments as Jesus is given up, when he's condemned. Who could realize that he's doing this on purpose? It's not just something he fell into by accident. It's not just the accusers aren't in control, but he is choosing this path. Because it looks like a lamb being led to slaughter, who doesn't know, and so he doesn't complain. But Jesus' actions only appear to be like that. It's a simile, not a description of an event. It looks like he's being led astray, away, led to slaughter, without knowing what's happening. And yet we know that is not the case. Because we know that he does know exactly what's happening. He's predicted it in the weeks and months before this night, this day has happened. And yet the simile is important because as it points us to a lamb doing that, it reminds us how shocking it is, how surprising it is that this one who is the glorious servant of God as the song began, who is the wise servant of God as the song began, is now the silent servant of God. And it makes us slow down and ask, why? Why is he silent? Why would he not protest? Why is he not defending himself here? Now, a couple things. Don't misread this. It's not because Jesus approves of injustice. He doesn't. We know that. He speaks against injustice and warns of God's own righteous wrath. It's not that Jesus is unconcerned with how people treat one another. He's very concerned about that and cares deeply about how we treat others. In fact, he condemns those who treat others with pride and contempt. So don't misread what's happening here. Then why doesn't he object? Isaiah tells us that he knew what and was wise enough to understand what we did not realize and what they did not realize at the time, that this was the only way for him to save his people from their sins. What was proclaimed about him at his birth. This is the way that he would bring healing, that he would bring peace with God. And so he remains silent. And so he humbles himself. And so he willingly allows them to take him away as Isaiah had foreseen. He becomes God's silent servant. And that becomes even more moving as we reflect on this second, even more briefly, this second description of the Messiah found in verse 9. All this happens even though he is innocent, not guilty of any offense himself, as Isaiah reminds us that he is God's innocent servant for servant. We'll also hear that tonight, especially in Paul's reading. Even Pilate, when he's brought to before Pilate, knows that there is nothing that this man has done. There is no way that the charges will stick because he has not committed any such thing. Even Pilate realizes it's the envy and the evil of others that is bringing him to this point, not his own failures. We often suffer for our sins and failures. But that's not what's happening to Jesus here that night. He knew Jesus was being handed over him because not of his guilt, but the guilt of others. And again, we're reminded that Isaiah had told us that when Messiah comes to bring salvation, he will suffer violence and deceit, betrayal and death. But in the midst of that and through all of that, he would conduct himself faultless. He would continue as he had throughout his life perfectly to speak and do what is good and right, and to speak only what is true, no deceit. So no wonder the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promised Messiah, promised to come. That in his life and now in his death, he perfectly fulfills all that Isaiah prophesies about what Messiah would be and what he would do. So now during the rest of our service, I want to encourage you, listen. Listen to your brothers and sisters as they come here to this mic and read the account of these things. And as you do, what a privilege to hear this, having it handed down to us so that we might reflect on it tonight. Remember what has been foretold about the Messiah. And reflect on how Jesus perfectly completes and fulfills all that had been foretold. Then recognize, maybe for the first time tonight, or maybe again as you have done, but recognize the amazing love of the Savior who did this. And then respond with faith. Take those hymns that we sing. The hymns of the faith have been sung for ages, some new, some old. But worship and sing your praise to the one who says, "I did all of this for you." Amen.